And betrayal is part of that danger. As committed followers of Jesus, we need to prepare ourselves for such things. By God's grace, maybe that will never happen in the United States, but we need to be prepared for such things. Let me read you some words of Jesus to emphasize what I'm talking about. These words of Jesus are recorded in Mark 13, verses 9 through 13. And I'm just preparing us to hear well Psalm 55 with all of this. Listen to the words of Jesus. "But be on your guard, for they will deliver you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them. And the gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations. And when they bring you to trial and deliver you over, do not be anxious beforehand what you are to say, but say what is ever given you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. And brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved." Those are the words of Jesus to us. Christians are right at this moment facing that in parts of the world. And it's increasing. And someday that could happen in the United States. The words of Jesus encourage us to be prepared for such things. And Psalm 55 can help us be prepared. Psalm 55 can help us. If you have not already done so, I invite you to open your Bibles to Psalm 55. And if you're able, I invite you to stand for the reading of God's Word. We stand for the reading, recognizing that this is indeed God's holy, inspired Word to us. Psalm 55 is long, so at this time I'm going to read only verses 1 through 14. Verses 1 through 14. "To the choir master with stringed instruments, a masculine of David, give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not yourself from my plea for mercy. Attend to me and answer me. I am restless in my complaint, and I moan because of the noise of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they drop trouble upon me, and in anger they bear a grudge against me. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror overwhelms me. And I say, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Yes, I would wander far away. I would lodge in the wilderness. Selah. I would hurry to find a shelter from the raging wind and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, divide their tongues, for I see violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around it on its walls, and iniquity and trouble are within it. Ruin is in its midst, oppression and fraud. Do not depart from its marketplace. For it is not an enemy who taunts me. Then I could bear it. It's not an adversary who deals insolent with me. Then I could hide from him. But it is you, a man, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. We used to take sweet counsel together within God's house. We walked in the throng. Let death steal over them. Let them go down to Sheol alive. For evil is in their dwelling place and in their heart." Let's bow together. Father God Almighty, we thank you for your word, which declares to us, reveals to us truth, to help us stand firm, be faithful followers of Jesus. And we pray that you'd use the words now, Psalm 55, to spur us on, to open our eyes to glorious truth, that we may remain steadfast unto your glory and honor. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, I'm calling my first overall point today, David's betrayer. David's betrayer. And under this heading, I'm going to point out what we do not know about him and what we do know about him. What we do not know and what we do know, looking at that will help us start to think about this psalm. So first, what we do not know about the betrayer. There are two big pieces of information we do not know about David's betrayer. One, we do not know who he is. Not for sure. The title of the psalm is not like the title of the psalm last week. Last week we were given very specific information about the event, so we knew it was the Ziphites who betrayed David. The title of Psalm 55 does not tell us such specific information, and there is nothing in the psalm that conclusively reveals to us who the betrayer was. And we also do not know when he betrayed David. The fact that Psalms 54 and 55 are next to each other in the Psalter does not mean they happened at the same time in David's life. The two Psalms may be separated by years and even by decades of time, and personally, I believe they are. I say that because there is one helpful clue in Psalm 55 concerning when the betrayal happened. I'm telling you this clue under the heading of what we do not know, because this is only a possible clue, and it's a clue that still leaves open a very broad period of time. So there's no way to be conclusive about the time of the event from the clue. The clue is that David is most likely describing Jerusalem in the psalm. Verses 9 and 10, David writes, "Destroy, O Lord, divide their tongues, for I see violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around it on its walls, and iniquity and trouble are within it." The mention of walls around the city is strong indication of Jerusalem, which would mean that David was king when this event happened. Psalm 54 happened when Saul was king. In Psalm 55, it seems that David is king. For that reason, one possible situation that comes to mind is the revolt of Absalom, David's son. You might remember that late in David's life, Absalom, his son, declared himself to be king, and David had to flee the city of Jerusalem. He was in danger from his own son. And during that event, David's chief counselor, named Ahithophel, deserted David and supported Absalom. Some commentators believe that Ahithophel is therefore the betrayer. That's one possibility. But we need to remember that while the Bible tells us a lot about David's life, there are certainly many, many events and people from David's life we don't know about. This psalm might be about an event not recorded in the Bible. So the bottom line is we don't know who the betrayer is or when he betrayed David, and that's okay. We don't have to know who he is and when he betrayed to learn from this psalm. For we do know what is significant about the betrayer. What we do know is that he was David's close friend. In verses 12 through 14, David says, "For it is not an enemy who taunts me, then I could bear it. It's not an adversary who deals insolent with me. Then I could hide from him. But it is you, a man, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. We used to take sweet counsel together. Within God's house, we walked in the throng." Now, those verses show a strong friendship. David and his betrayer spoke together often. They were companions. When David spoke to this person, to this friend, he, so to speak, wasn't wearing his crown. This was someone David treated as his equal. The person didn't have to call David king. This was a good friend. But the person was false. The person acted like he loved David, but he didn't. Behind David's back, he taunted David. And the betrayer got other people to do the same. I say that because the first verses of the psalm speak of a multitude. For instance, look at the end of verse 3. It speaks of the noise of the enemy, how they, quote, drop trouble on David. There are many people against David, and the betrayer was someone who was spurring on that attack on David. Look at verse 21. David writes concerning the betrayer, "His speech was smooth as butter, yet war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. David's betrayer was a person like Henry Phillips, who betrayed William Tyndale. He could attract people with his words. His words were smooth as butter. He was easy to listen to. It was easy to believe he was a close friend, but the betrayer's heart was cold, and he used his words like a sword. And how terrible it must have been for David to finally realize what was happening. The person he thought was his friend is betraying him, spurring others on to attack him. Now, when we New Testament Christians read this, there's another betrayer who comes to mind, isn't there? Judas, who betrayed Jesus. I just added to the screen a verse from the Gospel of Mark. Judas was eating with Jesus before he went to betray him. Jesus never quotes from Psalm 55 that I'm aware of. Psalm 55 is not prophetic about Jesus' life as some other psalms that we have looked at. But Psalm 55 was probably very helpful to Jesus. And it can be helpful to Christians today as well. And as I said in the introduction, we need to realize that persecution and betrayal is something we have to be ready for. We Christians live in a fallen world, and there's this spiritual battle going on. Satan is at work. When we are committed to following King Jesus, when we publicly say, Christ Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, and I believe He is the only way of salvation, when we make a profession of faith like we heard people make today, we very well might experience new trials. God is with us, God blesses us, but that does not mean there will not be trials. We are in a spiritual battle, and we simply need to be realistic about that. David had great things happen in his life. God protected David in magnificent ways. We have some stories in the Old Testament, but David also had trials, huge trials. David was betrayed, and so was the very Son of God. Now, we should not be pessimistic in life. I'm not advocating anything like pessimism about life. But again, we should be realistic about life as a Christian in this fallen world. If we're going to remain strong Christians, if we're going to be mature Christians, we have to understand what God has promised us and what He has not promised us. That's what makes Psalm 55 helpful. It gives us insight. Psalm 55 shows us, yes, betrayal might happen, and Psalm 55 declares truth that can help us rightly deal with it, which is needed because betrayal is extremely painful. And that's what I'm going to highlight next from Psalm 55. I'm calling the next point David's intense pain in this situation. David describes it in verses 4 through 8, quote, "My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror overwhelms me. And I say, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Yes, I would wander far away. I would lodge in the wilderness. I would hurry to find a shelter from the raging wind and tempest." To say David was hurting is an understatement. He was horrified at what was happening and what could happen to him. He was in so much anguish, he wanted to flee it all. He just wanted to get away from it all. And I'm wondering, have you ever felt that way? Even apart from persecution, I believe we can feel that way. Because the spiritual war is real, and life in this fallen world, it can be extremely difficult at times, can't it? There are other types of betrayal by people close to us that's painful, not just with persecution. There's other types of betrayal as well. And there's just other trials we go through that make life hard. And if you have felt like you want to fly away, well, this psalm shows you you're not the first Christian to feel that way. And that's some application for us as well. When you feel like you want to fly away, know that you're not alone. You are not the first Christian to feel that way. You won't be the last one to feel that way. Most of us probably would not admit it when we desire to fly away, but David publicly describes his feeling in this psalm, which we should be thankful for. The psalm was inspired to help us. Even though David was king, he writes, I wanted to fly away. The pain was so severe, David wanted to give up his responsibilities. He wanted to go hide. He wanted to just get away, but he couldn't. He couldn't fly away. He could not run away from the trial. And this psalm reminds us that we also cannot give up our responsibilities. Flying away from and ignoring trial is not the answer to the trial. Now, sometimes we might have to retreat for a moment, but we cannot flee from trials just because we don't like them. We have to remember that God puts us in trials for reasons. One, he puts us in trials to glorify himself and accomplish his purpose, as he did here, Psalm 55. And second, he puts us in trials to shape us. And whenever we are experiencing trial, we need to remember our God and our Lord endured far worse for us. Jesus was betrayed by a close friend and then was crucified for us. He took our sins to the cross. He wasn't looking forward to doing so. Do you remember what he prayed in the garden? Father, take this cup from me. But not my will, your will be done. Jesus didn't fly away, even though he had the power to do so. God never calls us to endure what he himself has not endured to a much greater extent. The intense pain David describes is small compared to the pain Christ endured. Now, this psalm doesn't leave us focusing on the intense pain of betrayal. It leaves us focusing on truth that helps us rightly deal with it and get through it. And we can apply this truth to many of the trials we go through in life. I'm going to explain the truth under the heading, David's Desire. David's Desire. Listen to verse 15 of the psalm. David writes, let death steal over them. The pronoun them refers to the betrayer and all who believed the words of the betrayer, all who were attacking David. Let death steal over them. Let them go down to Sheol alive, for evil is their dwelling place and in their heart. Now, what do you think about those words of David? Those are serious, brutal words. What can be harsher than going to Sheol, the place of the dead, alive? These are some harsh words David uttered. What do you think about what David said? Was David being sinful when he said that? As you ponder that question, I want to show you some words of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 5, we hear Jesus say this, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. Now, Jesus didn't just say those words, he practiced them. For instance, do you remember what Jesus prayed when he was hanging on the cross? He prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, with that in mind, again, I ask you, what do you think of David's prayer? Now, let them go down to Sheol alive. Was his prayer sinful? Can we pray what David prayed when we're sinned against? What is this psalm teaching us? As we consider that question, let me show you some more words of Jesus. Matthew chapter 26, Jesus is having the Passover meal with his disciples on the night before he was betrayed. The verses on the screen begin with Jesus speaking. Quote, the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born. Judas, who would betray him, answered, is it I, Rabbi? He said to him, you have said so. Now here we have serious words from Jesus' lips said to Judas. Matter of fact, I really don't know of words that can be more serious than Jesus saying, it would have been better for you if you had not been born. Hearing those words from the lips of Jesus, wow, that's frightening. When I think of the eternity Judas is now experiencing, I cringe. And it would have been better for you if you had not been born. That's what Jesus said. So these are serious words. Now, why did Jesus say that? I submit to you that one reason is to help us know there is justice. Jesus doesn't want us to face the trials of this fallen world without understanding there is indeed justice. The knowledge that there will be justice is extremely important. It's needed. Everybody's always crying out for justice, and the scriptures reveal, you know what, there is going to be justice. And that's what we see in Psalm 55 as well. Look at how David ends the psalm. In verses 22 and 23, David writes, "Cast your burden on the Lord." There David is speaking to himself in his own trial, as well as to all who read this psalm. David is writing to any person who has ever been betrayed, or whoever will be, as he was. David is telling himself and all who read this psalm how to deal with the pain of betrayal or pain of other wicked deeds done to you. He writes, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. But you, O God, will cast them down into the pit of destruction. Men of blood and treachery shall not live out half their days. But I will trust in you." David voices the truth of what God will certainly do. God will cast betrayers of God's people into the pit of destruction. David was trusting in God to bring about that true justice. And when you are trusting in God for his justice, it's not wrong to take comfort in it. That is what David's words in verse 15 are all about. When David writes, "Let death steal over them," he's not crying out for personal vengeance. He's crying out for God to bring about the justice God has promised his people. It is important in such psalms to see that David looks to God for justice. He doesn't grab hold of it himself. He trusts in God. He knows what God has promised. He knows what God will do. I will word the truth this way. David's desire was for the justice God will surely bring about. David's desire was for the justice God will surely bring about, that God has promised to bring about. And that is not a sinful desire. That's a holy desire, because it's a desire for what God has promised, for what God will do. I want to take us to the New Testament to emphasize this. Take us to the book of Revelation, chapter 6. In these verses, the Apostle John is describing part of the vision that he was given. And in this vision, he has seen martyrs. He's seen a vision of martyrs who are in heaven. They have died, they're in heaven, and he's seen them. And starting with verse 9, we read, "When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the witness they had borne." William Tyndale is now one of those martyrs. He wasn't alive when John was seeing this vision, but now he's there. William Tyndale is one of those martyrs now. And they cried out with a loud voice, "O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" Then they were each given a white robe and told to rest a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brothers should be complete, who were to be killed as they themselves had been. This passage makes it very clear that it's not wrong to long for justice, God's justice. Nothing in heaven happens that's sinful. So this prayer of the martyrs is not a sinful prayer. They're no longer dealing with their sinful nature, and they're not uttering a sinful prayer. Their desire is for what God has promised. Their desire is for what God will surely do. That vision was given and recorded in the scriptures to give us strength, to help us endure. And Psalm 55 was given for the same reason. Psalm 55 says to us, "Cast your burden on the Lord. He will sustain you. He's never going to permit the righteous to be moved. He will bring about justice in his good and perfect time," just as he said. Let's trust and our God and our Savior Jesus. Let's hear the call of the psalmist. Trust in him. Let's know that there will indeed be justice in this world. He will bring it about. And let's sing of his greatness as we trust in him. Let's follow him faithfully. That's what the psalm is calling for. We have heard this day a commitment to follow Jesus. May we all leave here with that commitment to follow King Jesus, delighting in our great Savior. No matter what might happen in this world, may we sing here, leave here singing of him, ready to give our lives for him. Please bow with me in prayer. Father God Almighty,